welcome to the VAT update for February 2016. And in this month's edition, we've got four items. And as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, which in themselves contain links to original material should the listener wish to do further research. The first item is to report the Court of Appeal decision in Finance and Business Training Limited. This case concerned an organisation which was supplying tutors and lecturers to the University of Wales and providing courses which were designed to lead to a degree being awarded by the University of Wales. So the customer was the exempt organisation of the University of Wales or the exempt students. Either way, if the Finance and Business Training Limited had to charge VAT, it meant an increase of 20% of the cost, and that's a very important issue. The company attempted to introduce a new argument, taken in the light of a Polish decision, that permitted a wider application of the exemption for education under the European Directive Articles 131 and 132, claiming that the UK implementation of that, to be found in Schedule 9 of the VAT Act, Item 1 of Group 6, is actually unduly restrictive. VAT practitioners will be familiar with the underlying principle that the exemption is to be strictly interpreted, and in drafting the UK legislation, the state has a degree of flexibility in how wide the exemption would be applied. So the Court of Appeal ruled that the UK was within its powers to draft the UK legislation on exemption in Schedule 9, and therefore the appeal failed. But it's an interesting decision and one that should be read by anybody advising a university or college or place of further education, because the imposition of VAT, should they wish to subcontract out the lecturing or tutoring, would be a substantial increase in cost to an exempt organisation which cannot recover the input tax, or it would mean a substantial increase in fees to the students wishing to take the course. I have been disappointed in the number of cases which HMRC take and which appear to me to be an abuse of their power, often involving trivial sums of money and taxpayers who are frankly unable to defend themselves. And such a case is that of Revenue and Customs versus Burton, which concerned the do-it-yourself house builders scheme and the interpretation of Section 35 of the VAT Act 1994. Mr. Burton had built a four-bedroom detached house on land which he owned attached to a stocked lake for fishing, and the input tax which he was attempting to recover was some £8,567. To Mr. and Mrs. Burton, this would be a very significant amount of money, but to the Consolidated Fund and HMRC, it's entirely trivial. Now, it was a bit of a surprise when Mr. Burton won his appeal at the first-year tribunal, and frankly, I think that should have been the end of the matter, even though I also think that the first-year tribunal had got it wrong. And the reason for that is the restriction to be found in 2C of the VAT legislation, which basically says that a do-it-yourself build cannot qualify if there are restrictive covenants or conditions in how the property could be used that would prevent it from being used as an ordinary dwelling. Now, there is no doubt that this case met the spirit of the law because it was a four-bedroom detached house built for Mr. and Mrs. Burton to occupy. But in obtaining planning permission, they had to explain that it was important for the fishery business. And as a result, the planning restriction contained a condition that said it could only be used by an occupant who was related to the fishery business. That condition meant that it could not satisfy the strict conditions for the do-it-yourself building scheme, and so the input tax was denied. I feel, as an ordinary taxpayer, quite disgusted that HMRC should spend its resource pursuing this point of principle, which doesn't respect the underlying spirit of the legislation, which is to put a self-builder in the same position as somebody who buys a new house that's been built by a building company. And in this case, I think it was wrong for HMRC to dissipate so much of its precious resources pursuing an appeal that, although it might be technically correct, did not respect the spirit of the law and is not cost efficient or a sensible use of the resources within HMRC. I do think the HMRC are using its resources well when they provide online training and webinars, and I've provided links for ordinary taxpayers to watch webinars and videos, and also for agents to pursue courses which HMRC have designed to help agents understand the tax legislation. Finally, I watched the performance of the revenue officials before the Public Accounts Committee on 13th January, and I have to say I was not impressed. There's an interesting bit in VAT at roughly an hour and a quarter into the session, which lasted in total 2.25 hours, which comments on the VAT allegedly being lost by traders from outside the EU selling through Amazon, eBay and similar online trading marketplaces. I don't know whether it's correct that £10 billion of VAT is being watched, but what I did feel is that the revenue officials didn't really appear to address the questions being asked of them and seemed very hesitant and uncomfortable in answering. It wasn't an impressive performance. Thanks for listening.